Hello, and welcome to another episode of Muse on Minis, 278.
Musing and amusing.
I am Nigel, and I play Kador.
This is Chad, and I play Trolls.
This is Crump, and I play Rat and Legion.
This is Keith, and I've most recently played Zignar.
Nice. We're four-man in it this week.
Yep. John's dead to the world.
John or Don, or both?
Both.
Have you seen the Don Jamiris?
It made me very happy.
Yeah. Is that you?
Should we spoil it?
We aren't positive. I still think it's Josh, personally.
There's no way it's Josh. He's way too active.
It's been a media blitz on the Don Jamiris Facebook page, so go check it out. Friend him, follow him, et cetera. I'm sure he would love to have more exposure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tooting his own horn. That's pretty great. That's what he's actually like, by the way, for all of you listeners. That's his normal. Like, if you go to John's actual Facebook page, he posts, like, sappy stuff about, like, his kids and family. That's not him at all. It's
no.
The Don Jamiris page is the real one. So, yeah.
All right.
But he's out in, Rhode Island?
TempleCon, and then Nova after that.
Yep. Yeah.
Josh is just not feeling well, so. Okay. Going without him.
There was no road trip to TempleCon this time around.
It's at a different time of the year, so
we very well could have. In fact, that was the original plan, but we just can't shut the business. Like, he wanted to do Nova directly, and Nova's in DC, so we couldn't all just take like 12 days off to go to two different like back to back cons, and so we just sent John by himself, and then we're gonna run the shop.
Yep. You can actually get stuff done now.
Yeah.
Anyway, news and announcements. We funded for the WTC stream. Yay!
Legit.
Huzzah! So we are sending the two technicians with all the sweet equipment necessary to do live streams, and not one, not two, but three commentators. Josh, Chad, and myself will all be there.
Oh, it's going to be so legit.
I'm super stoked.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you so much to everybody that donated. We really had a really strong push in the last week, and there was some advertisement dollars that came in and everything too, so it's gonna be so awesome. I'm pretty excited about the work that we're gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's
yeah,
gonna be legit.
We gotta start researching like matchups and stuff.
As soon as those lists drop, I'm gonna be buried.
Yeah, exactly. I've been like even just going through like random times throughout the week, like at War Room, and just being like looking up casters and stuff that I have not looked at since the new turnover. Like, there's a lot of little tiny things that like just catch you up like here and there, like little changes in a lot of casters.
Yeah. Isn't there an errata literally the day after those lists are submitted?
I don't think so. I don't think there's one.
There was one coming up.
I mean, normally they drop an errata around this time of the year, but I think that their schedule is off because of the Mark III release, and there was an errata.
I mean, it's certainly possible.
Someone at the...
There was already an errata, like...
Yeah, someone at the tournament, like, last weekend mentioned it. They were like...
Was it Travis?
No.
Then they don't know. Yeah. No, I mean, my assumption is... And I also, like, after the crap storm that happened last year, I would assume that they would learn their lesson.
Nah.
Yeah,
no,
well,
no
that's my assumption anyway. It'll be interesting regardless.
Yeah.
Special thanks to Danny Modesto, who came in on the last day. The last day we had $1,000 to go. I posted my $25, and then I basically shared it because I had to, like, you know, brag that I was being charitable or whatever. And then we started,
ice
like...
Bucketer.
Yeah, ice bucketed. And then Modesto came in, and also special thanks to Don Jamiris, who also... Don Jamiris and John Damaris got in a little bit of
a bit
charity war. Yeah, they started to like try to outdo each other. And then John Damaris was legitimately getting kind of like offended. Like, Don Jamiris is...
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect.
He's just like, Don Jamiris just donated $10 more. Oh, God. All right, I have to go donate $10 more.
which did lead to a little bit of me and Colin doing some sleuthing, which was amazing. Because we were both sort of like, we haven't seen Don and John in the same room together. So, and then we were like asking like these questions, but Colin actually got him in one. He was just like, he was like, yeah, this Don Jamiris guy just keeps posting. And then Colin was like, how much did you donate this time? And he's like, $15. And we're like, oh, he said you. And he's like, shut up, guys.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, I imagine we'll probably go around thanking the new donors or the extra donors either next week or I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably next week.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like the last day
was
great.
Back together to.
Yeah. It takes a lot of donations to get $1,000. That's what I've learned.
It does.
Because I was just hitting refresh over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And I was just like, God, we're never going to get there. Like, and the reason why I pointed out Modesto is he donated $100. So like we had, that was just like a tenth of the last $1,000. That was
That's
a tenth
a
of the way there. Yeah. So
yeah.
I was
Thank
like,
you.
Whoa. Yeah.
So just thanks everybody.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And there was a ton of donors.
We are going to kick ass on your behalf.
I think we'll do a quality. I think we will release a quality product stream.
I'm confident.
Pray to God the internet doesn't crap out on you guys.
Yeah, oh, God, that would be the worst. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
they're like making special accommodations. I mean,
cool.
Anything can happen, but
yeah, a tree line could just. Psh.
I hope we can figure out a way to do all three of us at once because I think that would be like there's so much dead air. Like even when you're switching back and forth between five games, like there's still like a lot of time. And I think that our rapport, like the three of us, will be really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Three might be perfect because like
yeah.
When and this isn't like a huge. I'm not.
Yeah.
Not critiquing you guys, you and Josh. But like there'd be times when you guys are having a two-man conversation and then no one's paying attention to the game and then
you have
to like so a third guy to just kind of keep an eye on it while two people are talking as like color commentating is probably perfect. It might actually be the nuts.
It's like surprisingly difficult.
Yeah, exactly. So then when you guys come out of your conversation, Keith could be like this and this is happening and then
because you have to like remain engaging. Like you have to remain engaging, but you also have to engage the other person.
Yep.
And you have to like pay attention to what's going on in the game and then understand like what's you know. And then like when you're juggling that between five games.
Yeah.
So there's times like where we'd go from one game and then we'd come back to another and we'd have no information and we'd just be like, what the hell happened?
Yeah. Well also like if something happens in a game where a person goes for some interaction, like a counter charge setup, and then that happens, and then you'll break that down for like 5 minutes. But by the time you're done talking about it, the game's completely different now, and it's like
something important's happened that we've missed. Yeah. So I'm super excited. I think we're going to do an awesome job. I'm really, really pumped. So anyway, we've probably spent enough time talking about this. Thank you, everybody. Is there any other news and announcements this week?
I have one plug I got to do. I should have done this a long time ago because he made this for me months ago.
Yeah.
But the Wargaming Woodworker is John Paul. He's a pretty awesome dude. He's easy to work with. It's thewargamingwoodworker@gmail.com if you want to contact him. He's also on Facebook, and he's also on the Muse forums. But he does, like, custom dice trays. They cost about the same as Wormwood. But they're, like, really custom. So I just brought it over here to kind of, like, show it off. But, I mean, it's, like, serious.
It's super sexy.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. It's like a really serious thing. Now, I just got his default product. If I could do it all over again, if I would have changed the specs a little bit. Like, I don't like that divider thing that much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd be happy if it was just the one square, like, a little smaller.
But presumably, you just let him know and then...
Exactly, 100%.
Yeah, this is really nice looking.
The finish, the join, the magnets, like, the way the lid works is, like, super amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was pretty happy with it. But again, he does all custom work. He can even do like a lot of like art and other things on it. And like I said, his prices are about the same as Wormwood.
Sweet. The Wargaming Woodworker.
Yep.
Check it out on Facebook and other social media. Do we have any other news and announcements? Did anything happen last week in the world of War Machine?
I went to a local tournament, but that's...
Did anything important happen? I mean, that's important, Crump, but I mean, that's not, you know.
I crapped out at a local tournament.
No, we'll get to there. We have, like, a whole segment dedicated to
that. Oh, you meant, like, did models get announced?
Yeah, or any, like, news. Any news or announcements? I don't think so. I think it's been...
Yeah.
We're waiting for the WTC list to come out, or...
When do those get posted?
Soon.
Ooh.
I mean, we're almost to the month point.
Yeah.
And I think that they get posted a month before, so probably in the next week.
Okay. Wait, when
or
is
maybe
the
they should have even already been. It's like the 23rd of
September.
Okay. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
They might even be posted by the time this goes up. I don't know.
Yeah. It's always fun to look through this.
Yeah. Keith, did you have anything?
Not in news and announcements, nope.
All right, so news and announcements is done. Lance,
nice.
Make it sound good. Oh, I'm sorry. So Crump, moving on. Crump, you said, as you mentioned earlier, you went to a local tournament.
Yeah.
And had some actual developments.
Dave actually crushed it in terms of promoting the event and getting people to come.
Yeah, he always does a really good job about that. It's actually kind of annoying because if you're in all of those Facebook groups, you get like 10 notifications.
I just mute them.
Yeah.
We got like 24 people for like a random Mayhem event.
That's awesome. It's like the first Mark III Mayhem tournament.
Yeah.
Right?
So it was sweet. He had a bunch of cool stuff to hand out. Like he had a Privateer Press had sent him and Brent the copies of the rules, one Hordes, one War Machine, that were like the gold and silver lined ones. The collector's editions, and they had signed them and everything, so that was pretty sweet. Sort of dream crush that more locals didn't show up.
I wish I could have made it, but I had to, like, my current work schedule is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so tournaments are, like, just straight no-go until that changes, which really, really sucks.
It was a lot of fun, though. We had, like, a handful of people come from Kansas City, handful of people from, like, basically everywhere in Iowa. I played Virus 1 in Kalissa. Decided to play my one last time before I shipped it off to get it painted. The two lists that I built were specific. The Kalissa one is just a retooling of a Mark II list. I liked her a lot in Mark II. She changed quite drastically, but not to the point where her list design is completely different. So I played her and this Virus 1 list. The Virus 1 list was literally built out of spite and hatred towards Privateer Press and their decision to make Wormwood the way he is. So I built a list to hopefully counter Wormwood to the best of my ability. And then it's a Virus 1 list, so it's just sweet anyway. Because that caster is literally the same as he was in Mark 2, except for he got a feat instead of not having one. His feat in Mark 2 was every time a guy kills something, you can allocate a focus to a Jack. And now it's Jacks get flanked with warrior models. So
yeah, that's a really good feat, actually.
Yeah. The list is Vyros, Imperatus, 2 Banshees, Sphinx, 3 Arcanists, Linus Arisal, Mage Hunter Infiltrators with Eris 3, and then Silas. So the reason this is good into Wormwood, particularly, is Vyros has Bird's Eye.
Mm-hmm.
So my entire battle group ignores Forest for line of sight. And then he has Mobility. So Wormwood's feat is basically irrelevant to me for the most part.
Yeah.
Over like 2/3 of my army just doesn't care. Which is sweet. I actually played Wormwood round 1 against a guy from Ankeny. And basically just turn 2, he feated. I killed the like 2 models that were in an Imperatus charge lane. He charged, stabbed a Sentry Stone, and then got to Wormwood and just beat him to death at POW 19 flanking. So
nice. The guy just didn't know about mobility, or he didn't think about...
No, I mean, it's... it's... I mean, he had put like quite a few models like in the way,
right? But your speed 8 with sidestep, I guess, so it's hard to.
Yeah, it can be. So, and even if he didn't keep Wormwood safe, like the fact that, you know, 5 battle group models just don't care about line of sight issues means that like I can kill heavies or, you know, a unit or something. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It seemed pretty sweet. It's a pretty... I mean, there's, like, not much to it. Colin and I have been arguing over it forever of, like, what the unit in the list should be. And he's like, Sentinels, all day Sentinels forever. Like, Sentinels till you're dead.
Yeah.
Because they're...
Sentinels are good. They're really good.
But I wanted it for Wormwood, and so I wanted...
Something fast with Pathfinder?
Yep, exactly. So that way on the feed turn, like, I can go get flank targets.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you get flank... Were you flanking on... So he's just... So POW 19 Weapon Master.
Yeah, super dead.
You're super dead. Auto hit. He's still auto hit, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
But, and I forgot... So Infiltrators from Mark 2 to Mark 3, they just got nerfed. They used to have that Mage Killer rule where they roll additional dice on things that were spellcasters.
Yeah. Mm.
They just lost that, didn't gain anything, still cost the same amount of points.
Huh.
That was kind of saddening. But they're still a really good unit. And actually, I played them, and people were like, why infiltrators? That unit just like always seemed crappy. I don't get that. Because like they're speed 7, they're mat 6, they're def 14 with like stealth, and they have 2 attacks each, and it's the 2 attacks that I like the most, because it makes them, like, they have gang, so people want to send them to, like, get gang, obviously. But when you have 2 attacks and you're mat 6, like, killing infantry models without gang is super easy, because you're mat 6, so it's, like, a unit with more mana rerolls. Like, one of your 2 attacks is probably going to hit, and when you're pound 9, that's going to kill most infantry.
So. No, I 100% agree. Like, I think one of the things that made Burrowers so ridiculously good in Mark II was not even just the fact that, like Burrowing Order was insane, and being able to point blank a POW 14 gun was insane, but just the fact that they had 2 attacks, like, for such a cheap unit.
Mm-hmm.
They were a 6-point unit that had 2 attacks apiece. That's just so good, because you can charge them in like one guy, like one on one, and just like it's so reliable.
Yeah,
when you're attacking into like def 13, def 12, or def 13 models, like it's so reliable to get a kill basically.
Yeah,
because if I hit with the pickaxe, you know, then it's a boosted POW 8, which is pretty likely to kill most infantry.
Yep,
and then if you hit with the gun, then it's
super dead.
It's super dead. I would just like charge them in like one on one to like Bane Knights or Bane Thralls or whatever, or Bane Thralls mostly. And then, you know, even with the tough checks, like, 2 attacks is phenomenal on.
And actually in round 3, I played against Carl from Kansas City, because he moved there. He's a Legion player. And he, like, was asking me about the infiltrators. And we both picked each other's lists. So, like, it was, like, Ryas into a Virus list that had 4 heavies. So, and he had, like, swordsmen and stuff, so I was like, it's not the greatest for me, but it'll be fun. But, like, the infiltrators killed, like, an entire unit of grotesques, because they just had 2 attacks each, and they were just like, psh. Yeah.
Yeah. So, do they have 1-inch reach now, or are they still?
They're still a half.
Half inch.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunate. And then, the sweetest thing that happened in that game was, I'm just going to tell the sweet moments that happened from the tournament.
That's fine.
Against Carl, I had sent Impuritus in. I learned that Incubi are still good. I thought they were still good, but I haven't had a chance to, like, play it yet, because they're dirt cheap now. Like, Nigel on multiple counts has been like, man, Incubi don't do the stupid thing anymore, but they're so cheap. Like, it's 6 points for 5 dudes.
What do they do now?
They spawn immediately.
Oh.
So instead of putting the token and then wrecking your world.
But they're now, like, half as expensive as they used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's worth it.
But they're still they serve a different role now, because now they block like charge lanes and stuff.
They're like whelps,
yeah,
but for infantry models, which is even better.
Yep. And so there was like several times I'm like, all right, I'm going to charge and kill that guy, and then I'm like, oh god, I don't really get to sidestep where I wanted to go anymore. This is sad, Impuritus. So Impuritus killed like 4 infantry models instead of like 7.
Yeah.
And all of his swordsmen charged it and killed it. And then the next turn, like, I got to cast a Signs of Importance to Eliminator and, like, move 10 inches.
Oh, my God.
It was awesome. It felt so sweet. So, yeah, that was... that Virus list is a lot of fun. I'll probably continue to play it. The other list that I played is Kalissa. The battle group for her is a Banshee and a Sphinx. There's 3 Arcanists. I have a Lara running Discordia, which may sound like risky business because it's an 18-point model on a 4, but I'll explain why in a minute. Lanissa Rissel, 2 units of Battle Mages, and then Sentinels with UA. The point in this list is it was much like one in Mark II, where Kalissa has a super-duper sweet gun, and she has a feat, which is kind of like a pseudo-time walk. It's like my opponent doesn't really get to do stuff against me.
Yeah.
So if I can do a lot of work before I have to feat, like if I can take 10 points of my opponent's army and then feat, it's just way better than just don't let my stuff die. So the sort of goal is Kalissa usually shoots 1 or 2 models that are in pull lanes of battle mages, and then they drag something in for sentinels to kill. And Alara is in this list basically because any list that doesn't center around a battle group should probably just have Alara in it. She's so bonkers now, because everything in her battle group gets countercharged became everything in her battle group gets refuge. So Discordia is a giant dick of this, like, Rat 6, Spray 10, like, POW 14 dude that gets the refuge every turn. And then still has imprint for, like, plus 2 armor for everything around her.
Wait, she has Battlegroup Refuge now?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, she's probably the best junior now, outside of junior.
And Discordia still gives a plus 2.
Yeah, she still does the exact same thing. She's the same.
So that's awesome, because you can walk up, shoot, and then, like, get in the perfect, and then still be in the perfect defensive position.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you hit something.
Yeah, so it was originally a demon, which is the hellmouthy gun thing that no one's ever seen on the table, like, ever.
Right, right.
But I would miss sometimes, and then the Jack doesn't get to refuge, and then my demon just died. So I was like, oh, with the spray, I have, like, 3 or 4 chances, like, one of the things is going to hit. So.
Plus, you ignore so many defensive bonuses. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been super sweet. Alara did die in my game in one of the Kalissa games I played, which was...
Sucky?
A crappy experience, because I had to... Like, it died. My opponent killed it on his turn. I'm like, okay, going into War Room.
Looking up inert. Yeah.
And I'm, like, literally scrolling through, like, how does this work now? Yeah. It used to be so terrible. All it is now is your Warcaster just, at any time during their activation, while base-to-base with it, spins a focus, and then it jumps into their battle group.
That's, I think, how it used to be.
It used to be you had to forfeit action.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. That is way worse.
Yeah. So... In addition, the Jack can activate that turn. It just can't make combat actions.
Well, that's better, too.
So I literally, on, like, the turn, Kalissa walked up, shot her gun to kill Dahlia, and then...
Was like, here's...
And then reactivated Discordia. And then Discordia didn't have any focus, but an Arcanist walked up and gave it one, and then it shuffled around and then imprinted.
Oh, man, that's so rude. Cool. That's awesome, actually.
Yeah.
Spray strong.
That makes junior warlocks or warcasters like
less
a lot better.
Risky. Yeah. It still sucks to lose a 20-point model's activation, basically.
I wonder how wild war beasts work.
Probably the same.
Like, give them a fury point and then.
Yeah.
Something we'll probably need to brush up on before we go out and.
Yep. I'm adding it to the list.
Some commentary.
I'm adding it to the list.
I want to share a list that my opponent had, though. I sat down round 2 against the guy from, I think, Waterloo. I think his name's Corey. Pretty sure it's Corey.
Hope so.
I'm, like, 99% sure. I was so impressed by his list that his name stuck.
All right, Corey.
From Waterloo, hopefully.
This one's for you.
So every once in a blue moon, you get to sit down at a tournament, and you play against someone who just brought all the lesser, like, dudes that they could. Like,
yeah.
Like, I've seen Circle players do it with, like, Kruger 2 and, like, all 4 of them. And I finally had that happen to me, where I was like, I got to play against the guy playing all the juniors. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to steamroll him. Like, this list can't possibly be good. The juniors are way, like, the lesser warlocks are way better now. Like, way better.
So by the juniors, you mean, like, Roshan Brian and Dahlia and Scarrath.
Brunn and Lug. Yeah. They're way better, and then their beasts are way better. And then if you're playing them in minions, they're actually, like, bonkers, because they can get all the animi, such as Rage from Wrestlers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Raged Big Pig is pretty scary.
Yeah. So my opponent's list was Rask with 2 Wrestlers, Dahlia and Scarrath, Rorsch and Brine, Rongeye and Snapjaw, Alton Ashley, a Bogtrog Mistspeaker, Orin Midwinter, Lanissa Rissel, 2 Gobber Chefs, and then Swamp Gobbers. So, like...
That sounds so fun, actually.
It was... I could tell he was having a blast, and on my turn, I'd be, like, a little frustrated, because trying to stay out of Dahlia's...
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You can't make attacks against me, and then also trying to stay out of Starcrossed at the same time was so frustrating. And then, in addition, we were playing an objective scenario, and he had the fuel cache, so he could make a cloud every turn.
Yeah.
And then he had that, the Mistspeaker... And then also Swamp Gobbers. And then Rask apparently picked up Veil of Mists.
Okay.
So there's just, like, 5 clouds being generated every turn that these, like, juniors could all, like, hide in or hide behind. And I was just like, oh, this is, like, really annoying. And he's just like, yeah, I didn't plan for the cloud thing to be this annoying. Like, I just threw the models on my list. It wasn't really planned. But, it was super sweet. Rongeye and Snapjaw are super annoying now. I played Kalissa into it because I was just planning on, like, Kalissa scalping the juniors out. But
it didn't work out.
It did. I ended up winning the game, but like it was actually close. I think at the at the end of the game, I think I had like Kalissa and like a heavy left and a few scattered infantry bits against basically Rask at the end of the like the Rask and a couple of solos.
So your point, I guess, is to not sorry to interrupt you there, but your point, I guess, is that like you took a list in that actually had a pretty decent counter to what he was doing, and it was still a really close game, so this list actually probably is, like, really...
Yeah, I think it might have some legs. Like, Dahlia and Scarith, I didn't think about, like... I'm like, man, Dahlia and Scarith, that bond is really good. Like, it just gets boosted shots.
No, I know. As soon as I saw them, like, when all the stuff, like, released, I was like, these guys, I think, are really good now.
Yeah. And he just, with Rask, gets a free turn. Because, like, on his feet turn, she just will not die, right? Because it's like, they can't shoot her, they can't charge, they can't do anything to
her. They can't attack her within 8 inches, within 8 inches of her. She's, like...
And then he can't be targeted more than 5 inches away.
Yeah, actually, it's impossible to kill her, right? Like,
other than, like, drifting blasts or something. Yeah, I don't know, something weird. Oh, extremely unlikely.
Oh, sure. Like, I guess if you, like, magic bullet...
Yeah, she's super not dead, though. She'll still have
charge. Does her song not have a condition on it, like living?
It does say living.
Okay, so you can trample a warjack at her.
Yep.
Okay.
You could. But it's very hard. Like you can playing around trampling warjacks is not very difficult. But in addition, the list just has a lot of like counter annoying things that was just difficult to keep all of it straight in my head. Like it had enough little you can't do that things that I was like, oh, like I can't keep all of this straight because he had Dahlia doing her thing, like all the clouds. Star-crossed.
Submerged,
and
also.
And then, like, Ornn Winter, submerged. Submerged was a huge... Yeah. Oh, God.
I was going to say, too, like, once you trample your warjack to her, it's not even, like, a sure thing, because then she's Def 16 with Star-crossed.
Yeah.
That's really
and, like,
rude.
Two transfers or three.
Two or three.
Yeah. Because Scarith only doesn't need to generate Fury. Like, he literally... just boosts all the like.
He usually has to counterblast. Like, usually.
No, that was the other one that was super annoying.
Yeah,
by
counterblast.
The way. It was counterblast.
Because if you end within like 6 inches of him, he's just like. Bah!
And he picked up gunfighter.
Yeah,
I don't think he used to have gunfighter. So there was like a time where I'm like,
and the boost
charge in, and then he's like, spray that guy. I'm like, wait, what? Oh God!
And her additional dice, stuff like lasts. It's not like activation.
It's a bond. It's permanent.
Yeah. So he gets to like shoot you with additional dice to hit. Like,
wait, maybe not. Is boosting still limited to activation?
It's not a boost. It's an additional die.
Yeah, I believe it to be additional die.
Well, lols.
I'm reading it right now.
And Rask is like the super polisher because you've got Fury, Fury, and Rage. So it's a plus six
wing. It's additional.
Yeah, it's additional.
Yeah. That was annoying,
also
by the way.
That, yeah.
I was like, he's like, we're just going to trade feats.
Mm-hmm.
And then... he's just like, this wrestler is just going to get Rage and Fury and just trample up to that jack. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I'll be fine. And he's like, dice plus five. I'm just like, I'm not going to be fine. I'm like, he's still Fury 4. We're just dead.
Yeah.
Like, Jack is just super dead.
Well, also, Rask himself enables, aside from all that stuff, the free focus from Boundless Charges on those heavy.
Yep.
On those, that's gross. But then also his gun just making you defend 7. Like,
yeah,
because then, yeah, that just it solves like all the problems. He's so good.
And now with the Mist Speaker floating around, he's just rat 8.
Yep, because he's got veteran leader for Bogtrogs.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Yeah, yeah. No, I think this list might be good or have some legs.
God damn it! Minions might be a real faction finally.
Yeah, all it took was not restricting all of their model choices into the ground
and giving them rage.
I said they were top hordes. I think they're the number one hordes faction.
Nah.
Once Madrax gets fixed.
Yeah, once Madrax
gets fixed. Yeah, you got a point.
Yeah.
Madrax and Wormwood still stand in their way.
That was a sweet tournament, by the way.
But
no,
they're not.
No,
Madrax and Wormwood aren't factions, so, you know.
They no one played trolls. No one was that jerk.
Yeah, that super surprised me, and it also made me really sad. So I was like, I could have been.
Colin was like, I'm just going to come and play Madrax 2 and be that dick.
Yeah, he should.
I know. I'm so mad that he didn't
should've.
Actually.
He would have been basically the king of War Machine for a day.
And I was like, what if you lose, Colin? He's just like, oh, God, I could never live that down.
That would have been
never live the shame.
That would have been so good.
Yeah. But It was,
but it's not possible.
It actually rejuvenated my. A few weeks ago, Nigel, like, we were all super mopey about War Machine, and Nigel was like, "We just got to go to local events. Just
that's true.
Just hang out at local events. Just play quirky lists that we like want to design and build and
yeah.
and test around." And so I like literally did that, and then put events a bunch of sweet people who are also testing out their like janky quirky lists that they're trying to figure out in Mark III. It's like not like the meta hasn't established itself. Nationally,
mm-hmm.
and then it definitely hasn't established itself locally, and yeah. so, like, we're all clamoring over the internet of, like, oh, play this and this and nothing else, or play this and this, and it's just like, you're an idiot, and then it's not gonna be like that.
It's not.
It's never like that. It wasn't even like that in Mark II.
And for the stuff, like, I do honestly think that, like, Wormwood and Madrek are going to be toned down. Like, they might enjoy, like, a day in the sun for a while, but, like, I think that they're going to be toned down eventually, and I think that they're going to be so yeah it's just yeah I think it's I think yeah. you're 100% right, because you just need to go out and play, and then like the game is fun.
Yeah
So like, speaking of, like, I made like this janky list that like I it's like so stupid, but I want to play it so badly.
Is it all the juniors?
No,
I want to hear
that is interesting though that you mentioned. I wanted to admit, this is the point that I was kind of rolling around in my head, is I hadn't thought about that the junior thing. Because that wasn't, you're right, that list has been floating around forever, ever since those lesser warlocks were released, all four of them. Like, people have been,
yeah,
you know, playing just jank, like, you know, I'm gonna play all four of them with Kalander or with, you know, whatever, and they're always, it's almost always terrible. Like, people really, you know, or like Kruger 2 or whatever,
but they got a lot better.
Like, but every single one of them,
yeah,
like, I think, is Roshan Brian the only ones that didn't get, like,
no, he got way better. He's got extended control range now, so he's got the
they all got huge buffs, like, across the board. And like, Ranga and Snapjaw got like ridiculously huge buffs, like Roshan Brian did, like Dalian
Brian's did. Brian's animus to make himself a weapon master isn't just one cost now, so it's actually usable.
So that shows you just, like, super value.
And he's 1-inch melee now instead of a half.
Yeah, so they're all, like, literally all of them got, like, way better. The only one, like, arguably is, like, Brennan Lug, maybe.
Something changed about them that's really good, too.
No, I actually really like them now, but they're just different. Like, so there's an argument between people being, like, oh, I like the way that they used to be.
Oh, like, it's so different.
Because they don't, because Bren doesn't have, or Lug doesn't have flank now. He has countercharge.
Countercharge and return.
Oh, so he's like a big dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It is. Well, and he's got flank sort of built. He's Mat 7 now instead of Mat 5.
Ah,
so
nice.
He's not like he's not a weapon master anymore. But like Mat 7 countercharging bear that comes back. Like, yeah. So I really
do
like
those guys
now.
Work in Kador.
They do.
You should build like the quad countercharge list where it's just like two dracoons.
Actually, yeah,
two dracoons, the little dog, and the
well, the list that I've been wanting to build is the Borka too, because they're immune to cold, so his feet actually affects them.
Oh, it still says friendly.
It's the same. It's the exact same. So it still works
that's
on them.
Weird.
There was like another instance of that someone pointed out, but I can't remember what it is now.
Yeah, it's just weird because like every feat in the game was just like, we're going to take all your fun away and make it all friendly faction.
So they're still immune to cold, so his feat affects them. And then like he gives his whole battle group countercharge, and the bear also has countercharge.
Yeah.
So the entire list is just like, you can't punch me or you get frozen, and we're going to countercharge you. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, so anyway, they all got, my point is like, they all got like way better. So it does make sense that if you put them all on a list, like now, like if you try that list now, it's just like every single element of this list got buffed.
Yeah.
So of course it's better.
Yeah.
And then putting them in minions, like, is just the gravy on top that, cause now, rage is so,
and
is such a good
charge and fury and
God. That sounds really fun. I actually kind of want to.
I approve.
I'm just going to punch my brother and steal his minions and try it out. Just take that list and make it stronger, better.
Keith approves, even.
Yeah. I only have two of those lessers.
Do you have? And you probably don't have any gators.
I mean, not anymore. I think I had like some pieces. I think I had bought a few of them, and then I was like, oh man, these are really, really bad. When they first came out, and then they just sort of, in the three or four moves I've had since then, not anymore.
Yeah, they're probably still in my cabinet. Oh, hey, look, a Rask.
I own Dalian Scarath.
A very well-painted Dalian Scarath.
Thanks to Tony, it's gorgeous. I had him paint that
you
model.
You were just thinking ahead.
I had him paint that model because I literally was like, I want him to paint a model that I'm like never going to play because it's going to be so gorgeously painted that if it ever gets chipped, I'm going to cry. And I was like, Dalian Scarath.
Yeah.
And then he painted them up, and now I'm like, I want to play them. They're so also so gorgeous, though.
I do think they're really good.
Yeah.
I do think they're really good.
And that, they work in rat.
Yeah. And her order, her thing is still just as good as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Anyway. So on the going off of that topic of just like playing jank lists that like have no business.
It's Nigel's.
Yeah.
That's where he lives.
I made a list. This is, so I guess we're going into like just dojo.
Yeah.
Like random dojo. So let's whatever. And we're doing the troll dojo because Josh isn't here because screw you, Josh.
No, he wants us to not to do troll dojo when he's not here.
Yeah,
he doesn't want us to do it when he's here. So you're doing him a favor, Chad.
Still
playing in his hands.
Still screw him.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I was looking at the War Wagon in Trolls, and I had a list. I had a list in the Mark II that was kind of it was a joke list, but it was really really fun to play. That was just all the Buffalo that had two War Wagons with Gristle One, because hoof hitting those things is really fun. Like, so you know, then they can like trample 10 inches forward, like shoot a bunch of stuff, and then like come back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's like a bunch of stuff that like actually just got better. So I'm trying them out. It's not the all the Buffalo list, but it is a Gristle One list with Dozer and Smig, whose animus is cost one now.
Huh.
And it's still plus two, you know, to attack rolls on. It's basically artillerists.
Yep.
So that's really sweet on them. The War Wagons themselves got plus two range, so they're range 12 now instead of range 10. They're still pass 16, AOE 5. If they directly hit, they get everything
knocked
in the
down.
AOE gets knocked down. So that's sweet. They still have a little spray. And then their mount attack changed from just knockdown to momentum. So when they still have line breaker.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah. They still have line breaker, so they impact attack on a huge base. They get to roll three dice to hit on the impact attack because of line breaker, and then whatever they hit, smaller medium bases get slammed. Mm-hmm. So they can cause like a lot of devastation to like infantry lines by just like slamming things into.
Yeah.
Gristle has boundless charge now, which I have only been thinking of putting on warjacks or war beasts rather, mm-hmm. as like a threat extension for war beasts. But I'm like, wait, like that you can put that on anything. I've never thought of it like because it's been so long.
It's because you usually only want to put it on.
Well, it's because Rush and Boundless Charge were the same in Mark One. They were worded the same, and you used to be able to put Rush on Warrior models. Mm-hmm. But for an entire edition, I've been, you know, conditioned essentially to think of Rush as War Beast only because it is. But now we actually just have Boundless Charge. Like, it's not Rush; it's Boundless Charge.
Yeah.
So that can go on anything. So it's like back to the old days where I'm like, oh, I can put that on War Wagons, and they can charge 12 inches with, you know. Line breaker, momentum, bolt, like, you know, or wouldn't, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Line breaker, momentum, impact attacks, and then still get a rat 7 shot from 12 inches out. Like, so they can trample 12, or they can charge 12, and then shoot another 12 with rat 7, and Dooney and Knot, like, I can put rerolls in there and everything. So if I've got two of them, and then they get to reposition three back, and then they
two
get
two of them?
What's that?
Mother of God.
What?
You said two of them.
Two War Wagons, yeah. I mean, I own two, so...
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Chad made horrible life choices in Mark II, and now they're redeemed for Mark III.
But it's sweet, because you can have... Yeah, so, like, she can only ever hoof at one of them nowadays, because her feet doesn't... It's not as good as it used to be. But still, you can have, like, one hanging back and shooting or whatever, and then the other one can, like, go forward, can go, like, way forward, and then reposition three, and then hoof it back, like, another seven.
Her feat is, she just says all of her fail calls. It's not all of them happen in her control area to everything.
So the whole list is Gristle 1, Rune Bearer, Dozer and Smig, 2 Maulers, 2 War Wagons, the Creel Stone, and Dunia Knot. And then I have a point left over. For
Gobber Chef.
Probably a Gobber Chef.
A chef, not that the little repair guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, is he
that
1 point?
Still a point? I thought
the
he
tinker.
Was 2.
Is he 2? Oh.
I don't think he's a point. I think the only 1 point option is...
oh, yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah, he is 2.
God, the Gobber Chef's a 1 point model.
Yeah.
Maybe I should put the repair guy in. Maybe I should get one of these Maulers out of there. Because the reason I put the two... I put 2 Maulers in because I was just like, yeah, whatever. Like, Maulers with Boundless Charge and Calamity, like, they can wreck, you know, and then she can give them an extra attack.
Oh, is it a Min Creel then?
Yeah.
Got Calamity, too.
I don't know. This list sounds fun, like, because... Dozer and Smig's Animus has only cost 1 now. Gristle's basically the same as she used to be in that, you know, besides casting Boundless Charge, like, she doesn't need to do a whole lot with her Fury nowadays. Mm-hmm. So she can just, like, you know, Animus, and then Dozer and Smig can do their shot. So it's, like, a lot of range, like, firepower. And you're basically knocking down, like, their whole army every turn, which has got to be annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying it's going to be, like, the best thing ever, but, like, if you're knocking down, like, 4 or 5 models a turn, That's got to be super annoying. And then doing damage to them, too, because it's a pass 16.
Yeah. Like, I mean, with Calamity 18. And then...
What's up, Keith?
Wasn't it Nick who was saying that he was getting good use out of druids just by knocking stuff down all the time?
Yeah. I tried that unit out and discovered that they just do something completely different, but they're not complete garbage.
I just imagine it's super annoying.
Yeah.
If you're like, if just like every turn, you know, basically the front, like, third of your army just gets knocked down.
Yep.
And it just takes, like, random damage from, like, blast, pow 8 blasts, pow 16 direct hits. And they have a spray. They have, a little crappy spray, too. It's only rat 5, but if we're shooting at stuff that's got knocked down, it's been knocked down. Or just taking random spray shots. And
so rat 5, spray 8.
Yeah, and then whatever gets knocked down, like Dozer and Smig can try and pound it with their pow 14.
Their sprays are, you calamity a unit and then spray the unit.
Yeah, exactly. There's, like, a lot of, like, cool... I don't know. And then if they, like, come into you strong with, like, heavies or whatever, you've got two Maulers and Calamity and Stone Strength, and she can give an extra attack to one of them. So. Yeah.
Oh, her calls aren't warrior models?
No, they haven't been for an edition.
Oh, okay. I always thought the extra attack one was for
They've all been. Okay. Ever since Mark II, she's been able to target anything.
You just never see the extra attack one happen on anything but units, because it's, like, 10 extra attacks or one. Like,
but it's, like, the Dunionaut's perfect in this list, too, just because you can put one on each war wagon and then one on Gristle in case she wants to Calamity something.
Yeah. Does she still have her spray?
Yeah, it's better now. It does minus 2 defense.
Oh, it has Deafen?
Yeah, it has Deafen.
God. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's pretty legit. I don't know. I mean, it might not be legit, but it's going to be fun.
You should play it tonight.
Maybe.
Might have to proxy two war wagons.
I just would have to go to my apartment to get them because I don't carry them around everywhere.
Gotcha.
And I think one of them is unassembled. I think two of them are unassembled.
That sounds pretty sweet.
I've had them for like 3 or 4 years, though. Anyway, that's my janky jank.
I like it.
Yeah, it seems pretty awesome.
That's what I like about War Machine, is just, like, building a list off of some, like, this one idea or this, like, one stupid idea, and then just, like, building it into something that's, like, less stupid and works but still encompasses the original idea. And then, like, 80% of the time you have to throw the original dumb idea completely in the trash and start with something new.
Yep.
Yeah. But for that 20% of the time it works. It's sweet.
I'm sure if I take this list to the shop, it's going to be just one of those, like, well, hold on. Let me just get out my list full of steady dudes, you know. And
Joey and I played a game, and I'm playing P. Kruger and, like, this stuff. And then Joey literally brings a list with no guns. So, like, my plus 3 up against... He literally brings Abby, too, with no guns. I was like...
No, this is what I was going to play.
I was like, sweet. Thanks, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to be, like... Seeing all the solid ground casters.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to see a lot of that anyways, just because of the way the meta is right now. But
Yeah.
And also, in defense of Joey, that stupid Abby list he's been playing constantly.
Yeah. I think I think that was not targeted, but it's funny.
It does always happen that way. Like, you're first. Like, I've got to try this thing out. And if your opponent catches any wind of it, you get to play the, like... I'm going to play it into the thing I would never drop it at in a tournament.
Yep.
That was the experience I wanted. Thanks, dude.
Which is, it's valuable to see once, but usually you don't want to see it on your first run out because you want to have a good... You want to play the list again.
Yeah, you want those good iterations.
And when you play it into the worst possible thing and get crushed, you're like, well, I expected this, but still don't ever want to play this again.
Mm.
But tonight I'm continuing my investigation into the European claims that Stormlances are the best things ever. And I'm going to look at them with Epic Kane.
Nice. What's he do for them?
Not much. I think the claim is just that they do enough on their own. Well, I say not much. That's not true. What he does for them is he does not require them to commit when they wouldn't want to otherwise. They're like, oh, crap, there's some, like, infantry coming up on me. And Kane's like, it's okay, I got it. And they're like, oh, good.
Yeah.
They didn't want to go up there and die. Or a bunch of stuff runs into them, and he's like, it's okay, I got it, and he shoots them clear, and then they can do whatever they want. So he just helps them fight rather than provides them with buffs.
Well, I guess the question is almost a little misleading, or not misleading, but it's sort of poorly It's sort of a poorly thought out question, I guess, in terms of, because that unit is, the claim you're making is that that unit is good enough that they just can go in any list regardless of whether the caster does anything for them or not.
That's the European claim.
Yeah, I think it's true. So it doesn't really matter if he does anything. But does he still have Blur?
No, he traded it for Bullet Dodger.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, that's probably going on him, I'm guessing, most of the time.
He still has, he can make them no knockdown, but that's not really...
Yeah, who cares?
Situational, maybe?
It's pretty annoying against War Wagons.
Yeah, pretty good against War Wagons. I'm planning on playing two min units, so it's not really... I probably won't be sparing them any buffs.
I'm not going to lie, the Storm Lance... The Stormlance technology or whatever, the Stormlance, you know, progression lately has just made me want to go play Signar stuff. Because I love Stormlances. I love Stormlances in Mark II. And they seem so freaking good now.
Yep.
Yeah, I never really played with horses ever. Like a little, not at all in Mark I, and just a little bit in Mark II. Like I'd roll out the Soul Hunters every very rarely.
Yeah.
So playing with them has been, it's been fun just because it's different.
Reposition is so good.
It's a good ability. That's for sure. It's really good when you can just map it all out beforehand.
Yeah.
Love me some pre-measuring.
So did you want to talk about your list, or is it basically just like a bog standard cane list with...
It is. It is not standard, but it also is not mine to give away. I may talk about it again in a future cast after I played it.
Sure.
This is one time. This is one time. I respect this person enough to not take credit for their list. That's how much I respect this
person.
Wow.
You give it away. Give it away now.
It also might be a WTC list, so I don't want to screw somebody over in that
room. Oh, okay.
All Wait, right. I mean, so, haven't they already submitted?
So it's Pat's list.
It is Pat's list, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if they've submitted or not. I don't know when that deadline was.
I think it happened.
If the deadline is passed, I could share it.
I'm not confident enough in that answer to, especially given that we're going to be seeing them in a month. So
it's like, oh, sorry, Pat. Everyone's texting you.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's what you get. Oh, man.
Now, do you got any sweet?
Sweet Doge?
Sweet Kador. He's been playing Infinity and...
I played like Vlad 3 last... Vlad 3 is my new... Yeah. Yeah, ever since Josh got drilled, I've...
Wait, what?
ever since I set him down and I was like, all right, I'm giving you Shay into a bunch of multi-wound infantry. You can't possibly lose this. And then I come back 3.5 hours later and he's lost the game.
Yeah, I was like, what's up with this Vlad guy? And then, yeah.
He got butt-effed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did. I've always dismissed Vlad because that's Tim Simpson's like favorite caster, and so
got him.
Yeah, and after watching that game, and then I've played him I think 3 times since then. But the last time I played him, both the first two times, what I want him to do is be a super. I want him to basically be the epic Kane of Kador, and yeah. He's almost built there. And it's stupid, but like now that I understand what his feet does, it's like, oh, because I used to always use his feet as like a threat extension to get to their caster, and it's always short, and it's always not that spectacular.
Now you know it's always short because he pre-measured.
Yeah, and exactly. And then I also use him as like a rotating buff bot. That's not what he does. He is a one-man killing show.
Yeah.
Who now can't be killed by anything because Madeline Corbeau, and like. He's super spectacular on his feet when he goes in there. And also just Dash. God, I love Dash. This is such a good spell.
Such a good spell.
God, it's so good. And also Dracoons. I'm just like totally in love with Dracoons now.
I hate that they're FA2.
I hate it. I thought I had one. I ordered one from Jay because I have to get my second one. But anyways, my first two games, he didn't Vlad out, but I was still winning the games. He did just enough. Because it's like all you need is like 2 blood quench tokens, and his stat line gets into a place that's hard for people to deal with when he's camping a little bit.
Yeah.
And but then the last game I played against Joel, I got like a +6, and he just like completely commandoed the table. Like
I literally, the two of them were playing. I walk away to like run machines and do some work, and I come back, and Vlad's literally in Joel's deployment zone with like six blood quench tokens.
Yeah,
and
six
the rest
is just
of
behind
his
caster, like literally just looking at Kruger, like, what are you doing back here?
And then, yeah. The best was the rest of Nigel's army was only 10 inches out from his deployment, like all of it. And so there was just a Vlad. There was just one model.
Yeah,
that was just like
because he like charged, sidestepped three times for 6 more inches, and then sprinted his final eight. And so I just ran around behind. But I basically killed the unit of druids plus a warp wolf in the middle of the table. And then and then he proceeded to sprint past and around behind Kruger and sort of precariously. And then I sort of positioned it to allow him to, because I'm like camping plus six armor. I was like, yeah, I purposely put him within trample range of both his beast and his Kruger because Joel didn't know what I did. So I didn't want to totally ambush him. So.
Uh-huh.
But then he was able to, like, tank it all. He just sort of was like, take that. You know, they...
It's 15-23 at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he just sort of backfisted, like, yeah, get that wee crap out of here. And then,
Well, the only problem I can think of with that is that then... Like, it's sweet that he can tank that. Like, that's awesome. But then after that, like, he loses all the blood quench tokens next turn. So doesn't he go back down to, like, POW 12? And he's just, like, got three heavies in his face?
Well, and he's engaging Kruger. Like Kruger, because
oh, that's a big yeah.
Because one of the big problems that they had to trample to get to him,
yeah.
Because they couldn't turn. So like they just didn't have a lot of attacks to even put on him, and then Kruger himself had to come and help out.
Okay,
and then they came up short. So he was just like me and you, Krugs, and he went to town. But yeah, he's so good.
Yeah, because he's still Matt 7. I think his better weapon is POW 13 or 14.
It's 13.
13. Yeah, 13. And then signs
importance.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, exactly. Signs importance just kicks the whole thing.
Well, he doesn't have that all the time, right?
No, he upkeeps
it,
though.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I was making sure he didn't, like, gain it innately.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Krios.
For clarity's sake, yeah, Hand of Fate.
Okay. I was going to say, if he gained just, like, having Hand of Fate innately like Krios 3 does, just, like, you should be playing the crap out of that
guy. He probably should.
Yeah. He has a very complicated, and futzy kit. And that when he gets going, he's got a chain weapon with 1-inch reach, and it's POW 13.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got a 2-inch reach weapon that's POW 12, which is a spear. And then he's got his horse. And like some of the, and then he's got Flashing Blade, which could be basically any of those.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of hard to like...
Well, not the horse, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No,
the
just
two,
I'm making sure.
The horse is just a POW 12 attack.
Well,
too,
and so. The spear has Brutal Charge, right?
Yep. I don't know. I didn't even... If it does, I didn't even... Does it really?
Yes. Yeah.
Jesus, Crispies. So anyway, that is...
Vlad 2's so broken.
Yeah, so he's...
or Vlad 3.
So then...
Because it's usually you want to charge with the spear and then...
Yeah, so he's got a POW 14 attack on his profile then, too. Yeah, interesting. So with Flashing Blade and then the three side steps, it's complicated. Your opponent will often be confused trying to track what you're doing and why and how all the numbers add up. And then... And you
and that's also, when we cheat and get them.
Because you kill like five guys, and then you're like, all right, I'm going to move 2 inches now. I'm going to take my sidestep now and then make my second initial. And they're like, what? You just attacked like 10 times. Like,
exactly.
What do you mean your second initial?
Yeah.
You know? And you're like, well.
Why are you still getting sidesteps? Yeah. You've attacked 22 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's the stuff I'm talking about. So you have to be like really narrative with your opponent so that they help them along. But yeah, he's pretty fun. He's actually really kind of incredible. Just by himself.
I'm so happy to hear you say that because he basically didn't change at all.
Yeah.
He just got repositioned and like almost everything else stayed the same.
Oh, yeah. That was the other thing too. So I've been playing and I'm loving it. I'm like, Tim, I got to concede. You're right. He's awesome.
Yeah.
And he's like, really? Like, what is, I'm like, he's just a one man killing machine. He's like a ghetto, like Madrick too. Uh-huh. He's like, he's kind of,
he's like a poor man's Madrick.
In
Kador, we get
he's so fun to just throw in there and mix it up and kill a lot of stuff and have blood quench tokens. And he's like, and I'm like, I used to just use him with a buff bot, and he's like really frustrating. And now I kind of see his true power. He's like, I just use him as a buff bot. I just rotate Hand of Fate. I'm like, you just rotate Hand of Fate, and that's your favorite caster?
You're like, why aren't you playing Vlad 2?
Yeah, why not Vlad 1?
Vlad 1.
God dang it, Simpson. Oh, my God.
Who's your horse?
That guy.
Yeah, seriously.
The one thing he's got on Madrick is extreme threat range. Like, this guy goes like 30 inches.
He does. You know.
Well, so does Madrak eventually.
Right? Yeah, eventually. That's true, actually. Madrak probably goes farther.
Yeah. Wait, so what?
That is speed 7?
8?
8.
8. 8.
And then 9.
Plus
a dash.
Plus dash, 10, yeah.
12, 14, 16, 18, 20 with 3 sidestep.
Yeah, plus then sprint on his feet.
Yep.
For another 9. And he can't Flashing Blade after that.
Yeah.
And then reposition.
Back with reposition?
I think it does. Rumor going around that like you don't get to end of activation movements. Like even if you have sprint and reposition, you must pick one.
I actually forgot about the reposition altogether, so I just sprinted. I didn't need it.
I would assume that you get both. I mean, unless something has changed.
Yeah, absent something in timing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way it would have worked in Mark 2. So that really means nothing. Because
they're different effects, so you'd think that they could stack.
Exactly. They both trigger, like, end of activation triggers, and then you go through.
Yeah.
And, like, you
would have,
it's like
it would
the
have
stack,
to be
like,
something.
You resolve, like, everything that happens at that point.
There would have to be an exemption in timing preventing it, the same way there is multiple effects granting additional attacks.
Right. Sure. And, I mean, that might be there. I'm not familiar enough. More things to bone up on. Add it to the list.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, one of these, if we ever do a two-list build, Vlad 3 will be my pick. My list, I'm just totally not settled on, but it's mostly just been the Vlad show. And I take Bombardiers for some reason, and then Assault Commandos, and then a Dracoon.
Bombardiers.
Yeah.
There's no way we have time to talk about why on earth you take Bombardiers today. We have to save that for another cast.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, when we do the next one, we can do a two-list pair where we solve Vlad 3.
I'm in. Yeah. With Bombardiers.
No, we don't have to use Bombardier. I just like him with Vlad.
No, you got that new Artillerist guy, right? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah.
Bombardiers.
I mean, with Hand of Fate, they're actually fairly accurate. And then all the Hand of Fated AoEs flying everywhere is with Dash. The big thing I take him for is Dash and they have Desperate Pace because of the little solo.
Oh, yeah.
And so they walk 7 and shoot 10, which is not bad. And then they threat 10 or, 10 and a half with their little weapons. So they get.
They still have crit shred or whatever it is.
They have crit shred, which is worthless. The big thing that sucks about them is
you could technically attack forever, Nigel.
Yeah, if Vlad was an Iron Flesh caster, they would be the nuts because armor 16 is terrible enough to where they get one shotted by stuff. So I always bring mechanics. I'm like, yeah, mechanics are going to like repair these guys, and everything looks at them wrong and they explode.
A steelhead halberdier charge, and they just get deleted.
Yeah, it's it's actually terrible. So that was the one. Like I remember. Against Gar, he mammoth threshered and just killed them all. Well, he could have rolled like a 3 on one of those damage rolls. He's like, I know, I still would have killed him. It's +5 or whatever. It's like, God damn it.
What did he kill them all with?
A mammoth sweeping.
Yeah.
Did they change sweep to incorporate weapon power?
Probably not.
It was on Nerish's feet.
Okay.
Yeah. So he just literally just...
That's like strength 19 or something?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
You got Khadgard.
I got Khadgard. Yep.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, but that game was still amazing because Vlad basically soloed. Vlad literally killed 2 solos, which was the +2 he needed to take that mammoth down with +3 armor. It was just, yeah.
Wait, that sounds extremely unlikely.
It was really... I'm not going to complain, but that's what happened. Man. And then he was able to sprint like, ha, I killed your mammoth. I'm going to sprint. Pew.
Right to Naresh.
Freaking that pesky plan, yeah. With Madeline Corbeau hanging around.
Yeah, I got to figure out that thing because it's the moving twice at the end of your turn. I just tried to look up timing in War Room and it had nothing to do with end of activation stuff. So
I'm starting to see the Bombardiers, I guess. With Hand of Fate and 17-inch threat and then they still have CRA, which is hilarious. That's like if they all... pitch in on the same dude, they get up to like rat 10, pound 19.
Yep.
With Hand of Fate.
But also just all those AoEs, because they're pow 14, so there's sevens with Hand of Fate, just AoEs everywhere. So they like kill druids and just that type of troop like crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. They seem actually okay. And their points are a lot cheaper. That's the big thing. And then that Kovnik's.
That
mojo.
Was always the most egregious thing about them.
The pow 13?
13 melee, 14 range, yeah.
They were 13 points in Mark 1, is that right? Or in Mark 2?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Yeah,
they were a lot.
I think they were
too many.
I think they were
many
13.
Too many.
They were like 13 points.
Mm. They're 16 now, so they're almost
half the price.
Okay, yeah. that unit is actually
that's
probably
ridiculous.
Good.
Like how much cheaper they got.
Yep,
they're like we need to points adjust this. Double everything in the game, roughly, except these,
except Bombardiers. And people are still like
maybe like a 10% increase on these. Like
I don't know,
like 100% for everything else, 10% for these.
Oh my god! And people are still like, man, I don't know if I want to take it.
That's dirt cheap. Yeah, like that's just funny. A unit that will kill all like def 12 or lower armor infantries.
I might be wrong. I think they were 13.
Actually, their signs important.
I think they were 13 points.
My theory is that Vlad could then walk up and wind wall because it's like an easy unit to wind wall around.
How many points were shock troopers?
They were 7-11, by the way, the Bombardiers.
Okay, Bombardiers were 13.
Bombardiers were 7-11. Shock troopers were 6-9. And Demo Corps 6-9. So they were 7-11. Okay. But 7-11 is... I've actually played enough Mark III now that I'm starting to not relate to Mark II costs anymore.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so that's nice. Because I was like, oh, God.
I was worried it would never happen.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what they were. They were 7-11, which in Mark II was the Apocalypse. That's like, that was more expensive than cavalry.
You're like, this is Beast 09.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, literally Beast 09.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, not worth it.
Like, I could almost buy a Behemoth for that.
No, but they are... I could actually see them be worth it because size importance changes that so much. Like, the time in this last tournament where I cast the Eliminator, it was size importance. So I'm like, POW 7 blast damage, like, needs 7s to kill arm 13 infantry, which is kind of like the run of the mill. So I'm like, oh, size importance, they're just dead. Like, they're just 100% dead.
Yep.
And then, yeah, that's actually probably sweet.
Yeah, it got me thinking about...
Kill all the trenchers.
I love Vlad 3, but I mean, it's got me thinking about just like, oh, I just made signs. Because the hard part about Vlad 3 is I cast Signs of Importance on them, and then I can't... I have to rotate it to myself to, like, when
he kind of wants it on himself if he's going to go man mode.
Yeah, and he man modes so well and so easily. So that sucks. It's just such a pill to have to swallow. I was like, what if I just played regular Vlad? I wouldn't have to worry about man moding as much, and then just the whole table. Because I also take Greylord... This list is literally like the I wish I had Signs of Importance All-Stars because I also have Greylord Turnians and then Assault Commandos with Flamers. And it's like all of that explodes if I've got Signs of Importance.
So you're like, Vlad 1.
Yeah.
Now I got this. All right, guys. Sorry, there was a lightning strike. And so we literally lost power for a second there. So we didn't notice. So we're just going to end the podcast.
What?
We didn't notice that all the lights went out.
Shut up.
No, that's
it's fine.
So,
God damn it, Keith.
Yeah, we were talking about
no one would have caught that.
Okay.
All right.
So, yeah, sorry guys, we were in the heat of a riveting Vlad discussion. We were kind of splooging about Vlad 1 a little bit, and we noticed that the SD card had filled up and the recorder had stopped. But we lost very, very little. We lost like less than a minute or two of recording, but we just kind of noticed that we're basically on time to finish. So, I don't know. Yeah, did you guys have anything else you wanted to talk about for as far as Vlad goes? Like, we were basically in the midst of discussing why not just play Vlad 1, you know, if Signs of Importance is so good.
Because you got a horse. That's why.
I guess that kind of killed the...
Yeah.
I was like... There's a bunch of stuff I want to talk about, but it's like all so tangential and stupid that I do this at the end of every episode. So I was like, I'm not doing it this time. Yeah. I'm going to be mute.
It's just going to extend our
yeah.
All right, that's fine. I think it was a pretty good discussion there. So we'll probably get more dojo in next week.
Faux show.
If we decide to do our Kador list pair build.
Oh, we're doing it.
We're doing it.
Tier 2 is going to be one of those two lists.
No, it can't be.
It can't be the top tiers.
Yeah. We take the top dudes and we chuck them.
So cool.
It's so boring. Get out of here.
It's basically
I had to build a Nemo list, Crump. I had to build a Nemo list.
Wait, what number?
3.
Oh, you guys picked wrong.
Why'd you have to do 2?
Kidding.
2's so sweet.
We needed a scenario caster. Anyway.
All right.
Anyway. Thanks for listening to another episode of Muse on Minis. This has been episode 278, and I am Chad.
And Crump.
Nigel.
And Keith. Take care, everyone. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
now.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Keith, have you been buying any sweet war machine lately?
I missed last week because my babysitter was unavailable, so not really, no.
No. Dang.
But I've got a list I want to try today.
Ooh.
I've got a couple lists I want to try, actually. I mean, we could just do your tournament and then just go into random dojo, random whatever.
This one I might play today.
Nigel, you said you wanted a podcast, or you were excited to podcast, or was that just Nigel talk?
I was just, I had energy, but whatever. We have more than enough to talk about.
You're like an Infinity now?
Yeah, actually, I'm sort of enjoying, well, now that I realize that the whole point of Infinity is not to fight your opponent, that it's like, oh, then it's like,
yeah, you're like, better. You're like elite squad teams sent to accomplish the same goal.
Yeah.
You're fighting over that.
To be fair, objective. Like, War Machine is kind of a crappy game, too, when it's not played in scenario. You're just kind of like, this is stupid.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
Like, it's just whoever has the longer range guns wins.
Yeah.
Like, yep.
Or who is faster or whatever. Or combinations thereof. So I'm not surprised that Infinity is similar.
Yeah, I can probably in the free ramble blather a little bit about the other.
We're in it.
We're doing it. We're doing it live. Yeah.
Age of Sigmar. Age of Sigmar is still fun, but it has shown it's kind of wearing a little bit. Yeah, it's right. Like,
cause it didn't take very long.
Yeah, because the scenarios, there's a billion. There's like literally a trillion scenarios in that game, but they're all kind of dumb and they're like non-scenarios until. And the game just evolves into, you have a lot of fun for the turns one and two, because all the stuff's happening. And then it just evolves into each person taking turns throwing buckets of dice until, like, enough stuff's gone that it's like it looks like a game has resulted. But, like, me and Colin played, and we were literally just like, ugh, like, no, more dice, just, like, stop me. We were so tired of, like, just playing.
It's like you went to a smorgasbord, and you're just like, oh, yeah. I'm full.
It's too much of a rich experience. Yeah, exactly. Maybe it's like too much cheesecake. Donut. Yeah. No, whereas Infinity is the opposite, whereas you, like, rage early. Like, the first experience is going to be all crappy because you're just trying to play, like, War Machine. And you're, I don't know, the system's not specifically bad. It's just very frustrating because all the target numbers are moving and different and stupid and arbitrary. And
it's going to take a little sometimes, while to
get used to.
When I was playing it was like, okay, so my target number for this shot is 11. Hmm. All right, whatever. So I rolled my dice, and then my target number for the next shot is like 15 or whatever. Yeah. So it's more likely. And then I end up failing that one like 3 times in a row. And it's just like, this doesn't, like, the target numbers seem like they have no meaning, you know, on anything because it's just D20s. Like,
yeah, and there's also the fact that your opponent's rolling against you. So even if you succeed, like, yeah, I got an 11. I needed a 15 or less, but he rolled a 12, so he cancels. Not only does he cancel you, but he shoots you in the face. And this sort of can be tilting. Sometimes, like, big, big, big numbers are, like, not as exciting. Like, I mean, Adam was shooting me with a gun yesterday. He needed, like, 17s to hit or less, which is basically about as accurate as I've ever seen.
Yeah, basically any dice, any hit or any result almost results in a hit. But then you have to, but then he has to roll lower than.
He still has to, his actual difficulty is getting over whatever I rolled, but lower than that, which could be a still pretty small window.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of a weird game that way.
Yeah, the hit percentages are a lot smaller than they actually feel.
But yeah, the scenarios are just super awesome, and it's really cool to, like, once you know that, so you have essentially, like, if you math it out, and then this is, like, for new players, and it's, you have 10 guys, and you generate 10 orders, and there's only 3 turns. So you have 30 orders. You're only ever going to do 30 things on a standard list.
Or less, because they can kill.
Or less, exactly, and they'll reduce it. But, like, so you have to accomplish between 4 and 8, like, little objectives, and they're all very easy, but you have to, like, move and cross lines of fire. So it's all, like, this, like, squad-based, like, trying to cover each other like a tactical team, give yourself enough of a lane to, like, go do one objective, then nibble at the next one, then nibble at the next one, and then you want to beat your opponent, like, 5-4 in scenario at the end of the game or something like that.
Yeah.
But that's super fun because there's so much tactical awesome stuff, like, against Adam. He kept putting, like, his HVT on the edge of the board. And I had one where I had I had to inoculate the HVT, which is, like, a high-value target. It's just a civilian.
Yeah.
I had to inoculate it, and then I also had to, like, scan it. And I had these two Tomcats who come in on the side of the board. One's an engineer and one's a doctor. So they just literally...
They're literally
robot cats with the jump packs.
Yeah.
And they just, like, swoop in, ha-da, to the rescue. And they just like, tag-team this HTV. It was, like, thought she was being cute, hiding at the side of the table. And then they were both just like, no, no, we're checking you. No, no, I'm checking you. And they're, like, prodding her with their little whatever medical and engineering devices. Oh, it was so awesome. It was, like, basically, like, stole the victory out from Adam. But, yeah, there's tons of that stuff, like, that you can do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think part of my problem was always that, or is that my only experience actually playing the game was in the Operation Ice Storm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where all you have is, first of all, they're unbalanced, like the sides are unbalanced. And then, all you have, like your only options are, you have like a squad of like the little, just like the chaff guys, the guys that you take in a real game, only to generate orders. Like they don't actually do anything. They're, I mean, they can shoot and move and like do all the stuff, but the only reason you take them is because they're cheap and they generate orders.
Yeah.
And then you've got like two cool guys, and then he's got like two cool guys, but they're different. Like your cool guys don't match up, and it's, I don't know. And it's like, there's no, like, there's not a lot of tactics there. It's just kind of like, okay, I guess I'm just going to keep activating my sniper over and over again until whatever guys are in line of sight are dead.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he rolls a crit and kills your sniper, and you're, like, mad.
Yeah, the biggest flaw in Operation Ice Storm is it showcased the combat mechanics, which are probably the weakest part of the game, or the part that most people are, like, out on immediately. And it didn't showcase all the awesome other stuff.
Like, I've seen some cool interactions where people are, like, throwing smoke down to, like, block line of sight and, like, throwing, like, landmines down and, you know, doing hacking stuff and, like, shooting little, whatever you call them, like repeater, like little like Wi-Fi repeaters almost that like, you know, like go to a building and then they extend their hacker's range and that
All that stuff's super awesome. And also, yeah, the smokes. Like I remember when me and Nick played, Nick had, he basically like toilet bowled the game on just like throwing anti-personnel mines down. And then it just caused my cool like hacker to not be able to do anything. And then, I started using them, and it's actually like super awesome, like laying these little traps down in the middle of the board. Like it's a really big deal. It's like super, any free hits you can get. But yeah, the fact that you can like put mines down and it's like turns the table into Vietnam for your opponent is just effing sweet.
Yeah.
And then also
the big power in the mines is they have to spend orders to clear them.
Like a lot of orders, they have to see it, they can fail it, then they have to shoot it.
Yep.
Like it's just a lot of garbage they have to do.
Some models in the game get to do both in one order.
Oh.
And so a lot of people bring those. Like there's some models in the game that like,
oh, the sniffers or whatever.
Yeah, they just like see camo and they're just like, if they pass their camo check, then they get to make an action against it. So
yep.
Plus the models are so sweet. Like so Miniature Market has like a huge sale right now.
Mm.
It's the back to school sale, up to 85% off. Buy these models that you need for school, apparently. like, we were laughing about that, just like, all right, whatever.
But it's actually super scummy. It's actually super scummy. It couldn't literally be more scummy because it's not back to school for like high schoolers. It's back to school for college students who have like huge student loans right now.
Yeah, because high school students already went back a couple weeks ago.
So they get their big first check and they immediately are like, and this happened to Tower. We used to have to like turn people, like there were guys who would come in, actually Alex Grant's buddies. They were Isaac specifically.
Like, I got my student loan.
And he would buy like a whole army. And we're like, no, Isaac, that's a student goddamn loan.
You're going
like,
to need this to eat in like four months.
Yeah, exactly. You should be buying ramen at Sam's Club right now. And also, not generating massive amounts of debt on, you know, War Machine.
Fact.
Like this $2,000 army you're buying is going to cost you, you know, $12,000 or something. Yeah, it's just
that's actually a huge thing that kids don't get.
God, that is so scummy.
Yeah. And so they have this back to school sale because it's 85% off, and all these students are like, "Oh, I've got $4,000 sitting in my bank." That's and they know that they get a check. They break loans into two big payments, so they know they're getting another one. So like, if I can just make it 15 days, or I don't know what it is, like 60, they make sure that you don't drop out of school, then they pay you the rest. So it's like students know that's coming too. So then this one's like the free check. Like they're just it's so scummy.
Yeah, but my brother's like, "You should order these models," and then I like go online and like look at it, and I'm like, ooh, this thing's like normally $60, and it's like 20. Screw it.
Nice.
And then my brother was like, you might also want to get these. I don't know if they're actually good. And I was like, they're like 60% off, and the models look sweet, so screw it. Like, just blew like 100-something bucks.
I definitely need to sit down sometime and just like really try and – every time I've watched the game, it's always been very like hands-off, like just kind of like, ugh.
Mm.
And then I'll see one or two things that I don't like, and I'm just like, I knew it. The game sucks. Like, and I walk away.
I believe there's a word for that. It's something usually you don't want to use in arguments. It's not coming, though.
Anyway.
I need confirmation to bias?
Yeah, I was going to go with anecdotal.
Oh, okay.
But yes, anecdotal support for... yeah, perfect.
Anyway, whatever. I'm just saying I've never given that game a fair shake. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
The models are so sweet.
They are ridiculously sweet.
There's a guy that I ordered, and like I'm already ruining the game for Adam and Chris, by the way, because I'm coming up with nicknames for all the models, because they're like, that guy. I'm like, you mean like starfish jetpack guys? Like, there's these guys that have jetpacks, but they're star-shaped. And then Chris has like a like this little tank thing that looks like what were the little tank things? Yes, thank you. From Ghost in the Shell. But he has one, and it's got a radar dish on the top, but the radar dish is a literal Pokeball. Like, it has the lines in it and everything. And I'm like, oh, dude, your thing's got a Pokeball. He's like, damn it. I can't unsee that now. Like, it's just for the rest of time. Like, yeah. You should paint it like a Pokeball.
Oh my God.
A tag that I have is called a Raichu, and I want my brother to paint it like Raichu, like yellow and brown. Be amazing.
I just mangle the actual names rather than come up with nicknames. I can't say that Aguicularis. I just say it different every time. And it just starts, like, your brother and Chris get progressively more mad.
It's like Marshall or Jim trying to say Satixis.
Oh, man.
Statistics Raiders. Who said that one time?
Venus.
Statistic Raiders.
God. Oh, good times.
Yep.
Other than that, I've got one plug to make that I've been putting off, and then also probably the WTC announcement that it got funded.
Yeah, it got funded.
Yeah.
Well, we'll put that in the actual cast.
Yeah, exactly. That's both the plug and that we'll put in the cast. But I'm just saying, other than that, I think we're good to go.
Yeah, I haven't been watching or doing anything new or interesting, really.
I want to go see... now that it's out and reviews of it are amazing, I want to go see Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that does look good.
Kubo and the Two Strings.
It's just a puppet animation movie.
It's a kids movie. It's like the animation style the same as like Coraline, I think, in a very similar sort of.
I was watching a little segment about like how they made the film, and like it's literally just all like done with puppets and stuff. And so there's scenes where they're like on the ocean, so they were like, this was actually a huge problem because we had to figure out like how to make the ocean look real with just, like, you know, paper bits and you know, how to control these model, like, these puppets so that they, like, look like they're actually swimming and not just, like, flailing in the ocean. And it was cool. But
it's tangential, but the South Park guys, like Matt Stone, was talking about how he almost quit. Like, they almost broke up over Team America. I always thought, like...
Really?
I always thought, like, that's so hacks to make an awesome movie with just stupid puppets. Like, it's got to be cheap and easy, and you could do it in a week. They're like, nope. It was like 10 months of hell, and I almost quit, and I actually hate him, and we'll never do that movie ever again. Like, he was just like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, puppets... Making puppets not look like crap is, I imagine, very hard. A lot of takes. But
that's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, like, shocked. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, that can't be. Like, bigger, longer, uncut I could have seen, or basketball I could have seen that. But, like, I feel like that would have just been their wheelhouse of just this wacky, you know, diversion of South Park, you know.
Seemed so silly. Like, yeah. And parts of the movie were, like, funny specifically because it looked like they just didn't give a crap about the puppetry.
Yeah, totally. Like, when they unleash, like, the cats. Basically, anytime they incorporate real animals in that movie, it's amazing. Yeah.
Or where he's just puking and like
they're just jiggling the thing violently. Yeah.
And there's just a giant pool of
pea soup or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, just also the cool walks. Because, like, the guy, like, you got to walk like this. And he's just like just down the hall flopping around.
God, I need to watch that movie again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should too.
Actually, I guess I have one more thing for the pre-ramble. I saw Point Break, the new one, last night.
Well, they made a new one?
They remade it, right?
Wait, with, like, Keanu Reeves and...
Not Patrick Swayze or Keanu Reeves. Yeah, they did not have a corpse and then Keanu Reeves.
So it's garbage.
It was, I couldn't believe... I thought, okay, it's going to be like Fast and Furious. They're just going to, like, update it with new actors. And holy crap, they whiffed. Like, the recipe is really easy because ever since Point Break, there's been XXX and there's been the Fast and Furious, and it's not that hard of a, like,
yeah,
you know,
just follow the plan.
Jesus Christ, they whiffed. Like, first off, they got a guy. They got this, like, creepy, like, German sort of blonde, you know, like, Nordic-looking guy.
Hasselhoff.
But he's, like, doing a Keanu Reeves impression the whole time. Like, so they get... He's just...
This sounds amazing.
I'm like, okay, so they got a really different guy to play Johnny Ringo or whatever his name was. Johnny Utah. And then they...
Johnny Ringo.
And so all the characters... They just replaced everybody with, like, wildly different actors. But then all the actors are trying to be the person they're replacing. So it's just infuriating the whole time. But this, it's like this blonde guy is, like, just going, whoa. Oh, man. And he's just, like, constantly just Keanu Reeves-ing. Oh, it's so frustrating. Like, you could have just totally redone this. So they had, like, the fake Lori Petty. Oh, my God. And then they changed a few things. Like, rather than having his partner killed off, who was Gary Busey in the first one, they killed off the Lori Petty character in this one. And, yeah, it just, none of it worked. It was just terrible. The action was garbage. All, like, they did, like, these weird green screeny. So, like, rather, you know, everything was, like, principal photography and actual people, like, stuntmen doing surfing and jumping off planes. This one they did, like, really terrible green screeny crap. Like, all the action sequences were bad. Like, they were clearly just on a soundstage on a green screen, mm-hmm. not actually jumping out of a plane or climbing up a cliff or... So it just was awkward.
So it had, like, the Star Wars prequels problem.
Yeah, huge. It was, like, a really bad. But this is not the... This is, like, of the movies that can't happen, it's this one. The only point of it is to actually put people on a mountain or in the ocean or, you know...
Yeah, the way there's no suspense or whatever.
Yeah, it's just... You're like, oh, okay. Yeah, it was awful.
Well, the director is not really a director. He's a cinematographer.
Hmm.
He did cinematography for... not really any good movies.
Yeah. Like,
The Fast and the Furious 3, Daredevil.
Wait, like the movie, not the show?
The movie, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, yeah.
And yeah. So yeah, that's his credentials. So I don't know what you were expecting.
By the way, it's like the final shot, just the final shot. So in the old Point Break, Johnny Utah, Patrick Swayze gets away, and Johnny Utah, like, breaks his leg because he, like, parachuted out of a plane, and he pulled the thing too late, and he broke his leg, and then Patrick Swayze gets away. But he knows that there's, like, this once every 100 years wave that comes in Australia that guy would probably never miss to, like, try to, you know, do it. And so he, like, meets him on the beach, and the guy's, you know, like, you know, whatever, and then he ends up letting him go, like, they have a little fight on the beach, and he lets Patrick Swayze basically go kill himself in the ocean. This one, they had the same scene, but it was like, let's make it more extreme. So they basically had, like, a hurricane. It was like a super El Nino, and it was like a hurricane on the beach of Australia. And the guy was, like, on a tugboat, and he was, like, you know, just by himself on a tugboat, like, setting it up. And Johnny Utah comes in on a helicopter and then, like, rappels down the helicopter onto the boat. And, like, he's just, like, this dumb FBI agent. Like, why would they spend funds, like, waste money having, a rescue chopper so that he could, like, rappel down and then harass this guy in a boat and then just get back on his, like, line and go back up in the helicopter? Because because they don't even fight. They just have this conversation, like, you gotta let me do this. You can't do this. You're gonna die. You gotta let me do this. Okay. Like, that's...
What? I'm gonna get back in my chopper.
What kind of climactic weird scene is this? And then the guy, like, tugboats right into a wave, and then he, like, has, like, a... He, like, jumps out. But it's all, like, crappy, like, computer effects on a green screen. And, like, when they were on the boat together, it was, like, this torrential rain with, like, green screen wave behind him that kept splashing. It looks... on, like, it can't...
Is this on Netflix?
It's on HBO now. It's on HBO. Yeah.
I know what I'm doing tonight.
It's so bad. I can't believe that in, you know, 2016 that this is, like, the crap that actually hits a theater. It was, like, Sharknado-ish.
I don't know if it ever hit the theater.
It did hit the theater. I almost went and saw it.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was out for less than 2 weeks. So it was borderline straight to Blu-ray.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yes. Anyways.
I have to force myself, by the way, to not say, like, straight to DVD. Like,
yes. Like, why? So, DVD still exists. Right, this is like, you're like, yeah.
Straight to VHS.
This is like when DVD first came out, and you're like, I have to force myself not to say straight to VHS or whatever. Yeah. And you're like, no, it's VHS is still out. It's still okay. You can still say straight to CD. Like, they're out there. All right.
Yeah. Amazing.
Mm.
I never even knew that they were making another Point Break.
Wow. Yeah, I was so mad about it, mostly because you can't touch, like, actually, you just can't touch Patrick Swayze. They shouldn't remake Roadhouse. They should not make Point Break.
Are they remaking Roadhouse?
They are, and Ronda Rousey is playing his character.
His character.
Yeah. So you're taking a good actor.
No.
Yes, you're taking a good actor, and then you're taking not an actor.
She might be a good actor.
No, she's not.
She is not.
Has she acted in anything?
Yes.
Yes, The Fast and Furious. She was awful. She's been awful in everything she's actually been in.
See, I haven't seen a Fast and the Furious movie since I think the second one. So
she was in the most recent one. And despite having almost no dialogue, it was still very obvious that dialogue is not her thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. So she'd be great filling in for, like, Keanu Reeves?
Maybe.
Like, no, Kate, like, she makes Keanu Reeves look like Al Pacino. And actually, that's also what the cast of the current Point Break did, too. I was like, Jesus, I actually miss Keanu Reeves. Like,
I just listen to Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
Try to do Shakespeare for an hour? That would be proud. Yeah.
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, God.
Keanu Reeves and Ben Affleck and Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa.
That's why Bill and Ted's is, like, one of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
It was the perfect Keanu Reeves. Because, yeah, he just says, whoa, all the time.
Yeah. I always thought that in The Matrix. It almost took me out of the movie when he's like, whoa, I know Kung Fu.
Yeah.
And I was just like, holy crap, it's Bill. Like, it took me out of the movie.
Yeah. It brought me further in.
Yeah.
I was just, because of the Point Blank thing, I was browsing IMDb, and I saw that they're doing a Justice League Dark movie.
Hmm.
So that would be John Constantine's crew, like John Constantine's Swamp Thing, and then some lesser knowns that are attached with him. And the director for that doesn't look awful. He did like a bunch of Bourne movies and The Edge of Tomorrow. I liked all those.
Hmm.
Edge of Tomorrow I was expecting to be a complete pile of crap, and then it was actually pretty
super
decent.
Good.
Yeah. Tom Cruise one where he can die.
And
where he can basically quick save.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, he's quick saved to a certain point.
Yeah.
I hate to say it.
I love the concept, but I hate
kills
Tom,
him over and over again.
I hate Tom Cruise so much that I almost just refuse to see the movie.
I hate this. Everybody hates Tom Cruise, but, and I do too, I hate him.
It's because his teeth don't line up.
He makes a goddamn good movie. He just can't make a bad movie.
No, I completely agree. I hate it.
Okay.
You were about to say Last Samurai, but you're wrong. It's a good movie.
I was actually going to say Cocktail.
That's a great movie.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyways, Chad, finish your...
No, that's basically it. Like, that's what I was going to say. It sucks. Because I think he is a horrible, like, awful, awful, terrible human being.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I do not want to give money to anything that he was even, like, tangentially related to. But, like, all of his movies are freaking good, so it sucks.
Yeah, you know, I've just sort of gotten to the point where... Whatever. Like, I just try not to... I love hearing about Hollywood stories about great people. Like, every time I hear about Keanu Reeves, I'm like, man, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to hate him more because he's kind of a bad actor. But man, oh man, is he like one of the sweetest guys alive?
Anyway. I mean, every bad acting thing he's ever done. I don't know. Keanu Reeves is all right in my book. Also, I thought of one, Oblivion.
Oblivion wasn't bad. It was just pretty.
So bad.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Well, I mean, I watched it and I was like, I know how this is going to end. Yeah, but at the same time, I was like, eh, I'm along for the ride. No, it wasn't great. It was not a great movie, but
it was no Days of Thunder.
It certainly wasn't bad because of Tom Cruise.
I think Eyes Wide Shut, maybe. That movie sucked. But, like, yeah, it wasn't because of Tom Cruise or anything.
I'm also not prepared to say Tom Cruise is a great actor because it's always Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
he has never done a different part in his life except for the one, but that was way
what about
back.
What about him in Tropic Thunder?
Yeah.
Oh, in Tropic. Right, so like a couple times.
That is his best actor.
He's gone outside of the box. But primarily, he's just always Tom Cruise.
I mean, it's two roles. It's either like... I mean, he plays a different character in the action films compared to like...
That's just a side note. That's all Harrison Ford is. It's just Harrison Ford in every movie.
No, I mean, there are a lot of actors.
I want my family back.
That's true. I want my Millennium Falcon back.
There are a lot of what?
There are a lot of actors who are like that, which is why I think the ones who aren't are so exceptional. Yeah. Like Gary Oldman, one of the perfect chameleons.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yep.
Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we start, Keith, there's times where, I don't know if you're like, are you stepping away from your mic like sometimes or like putting your head away? Because there's certain times where like you really go way down in volume.
Hmm. I'm not trying to, but I may be turning my head away slightly.
Maybe. Just something to keep.
Yep. Sounds good. I will increase my gain slightly and make sure that I'm up on the microphone.
That's cool. For 2 seconds.
Yep. Sounds good.
God, now that I realized that all Harrison Ford wanted in The Force Awakens is the Millennium Falcon back. I didn't realize that was his whole driving plot.
Give me back my Millennium Falcon.
I want my Millennium Falcon back.
Get off my Millennium Falcon. He kicks the guy out the door. It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
God, I'm so excited for Rogue One.
I haven't seen the new trailer for it. I heard it's good.
It's very good. Everything continues to look fantastic.
I heard they got John Williams for it. Mm-hmm. Or is that for the episode 8? That might be for episode 8.
Yeah, maybe. I could see this one actually not having... I mean, it's going to. But I could see this one like not having a score, like a John Williams score to it, and it's still being a very, very good film. Because it's... It feels, like, grittier, almost.
Man, if they didn't use a lot of the John Williams music for a Star Wars movie, I think people would hate it, and not a lot of them wouldn't be able to know why.
Yeah.
A lot of people would not be able to. They're like, this isn't Star Wars. I can't really say... It just didn't feel like Star Wars. I feel like you'd get that you'd get that constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So when that man dies, no more.
Well, just have to keep reusing the music. Yeah. Or find someone that writes enough like him.
Yeah. God, it looks so good, though.